Hey, good morning. Let's turn to John chapter 5. John 5. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, a Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons in the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. Therefore the Jews were saying to him, who was cured, "It is a Sabbath and is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Take up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your pallet and walk'?" But he who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may befall you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives him life, even so the Son also gives life to those whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice, and shall come forth those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing of my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. But the witness which I receive is not from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you are willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the witness of which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that bear witness of me, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Amen. So, John 5 starts with the healing. I mentioned this a little bit before in the introduction to John, And John is the only gospel that uses this concept of signs. Now, obviously, other gospel writers will write about signs and wonders and miracles that Jesus does, but John is very particular in the way that he uses signs to authenticate Jesus' ministry. And he'll do this in different ways. The word in Greek is semeia. And he, you know, obviously Jesus loves people and he heals people, you know, and he meets people's needs. But when John writes, and when you see miracles in the Gospel of John, you know, it'd be wise for us to think of a bigger picture in mind. You know, for example, he'll heal a blind man, you know. And the word that he'll say is, I am the light of the world. You know, and so, in other words, what he's doing is he's doing miracles, or, you know, what we call signs, you know, but those signs are really pointing to something greater than just the act itself, right? And I think that a lot of times we lose sight of that, you know, and it could be, you know, it could be in a sense like we take a modern take on it, right? It could be that we're so enamored and we go so much after the miracle, right? But there's so much more to the miracle than the miracle itself. You know what I mean? I mean, it speaks more volumes of God's character and God's goodness and greatness. You know, and so we don't want to get pigeonholed into seeing, you know, a simple act. We want to see the basic purpose or the power that goes beyond the act. And then you think of it this way, right? Remember John at the end, he wrote that if he were to write all the stuff that Jesus did, right? You know, did he say something like there wouldn't be enough ink? Was it something like that? Or water? Is it some kind of phrase? What was the phrase? Yeah, there wouldn't be enough ink in the world to write all that Jesus did. And so John's looking at basically a vast library of resources of miracles and signs and wonders. And John skillfully picks boom, 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 boom. You know, and he just picks a few. I mean, there's a lot, right? But a few compared to, you know, can't even write it down because there's not enough ink in the world. I mean, that's a lot of stuff, right? And so when he does this, he has an incredible purpose in what he's doing. You know, actually tomorrow we'll read about, you know, the other passage that goes on. And he shares, you know, about the, you know, the multiplying of the bread and fish. And then what's his? I'm the bread of life, right? And so it's a semeia, it's a sign, but it's pointing to a bigger truth that he wants to manifest, you know, to the readers here. Okay, so don't lose sight of that. And so he gets to this place and he finds this this man, and you know he. I mean, just interestingly, I mean, what an incredible story, right? This pool in Bethesda. I mean, gosh, if this pool was around today, I mean, this would be like the biggest attraction in the world. You know, every once in a while, I mean, don't you find this so interesting? Every once in a while, God in his mercy sends down an angel, you know, and he goes and he stirs the pool. I mean, that's crazy. You know, like we read the Bible, and I go, okay, yeah, sure. The angel comes down and stirs the pool, right? That's crazy. I mean, even back then, it was crazy. You know, sometimes we think like, oh, yeah, in the Bible, like those things happen all the time. And so they were like kind of used to it. They weren't used to it, you know, and so much so that, remember, he has to like try to convince the disciples of all kinds of stuff because they are even freaking out. And so the angel would come and stir the pool. And then God, you know, Jesus has mercy on this man. Right, he can't get into this pool when the angel stirs the water, and the people dip in and they get well. You know, I wonder if you know the Fountain of Youth, you know Ponce de Leon, and you know if you studied all these things. I wonder if all those things are just an allusion to the scriptures here. You know, I mean probably. And so you know he goes and this guy goes in. I mean, he heals this man. He does it on the Sabbath. Again, note, right? You know. Probably this guy was crippled for a long time, you know. Jesus, couldn't you wait one more day? You know, I mean, if you just think about it, couldn't you just wait one more day? Look, if I was his advisor, you know, I'd say, Jesus, you know what? If you waited one more day, you wouldn't really have all these religious leaders mad at you. So just, let's just do it on Monday, you know, or I guess it would be Sunday, the Sabbath is Saturday. Let's just do it on Sunday. You know, surely your life would be so much easier. But Jesus continually makes it a point to choose the Sabbath. Why? Because he's going after human institutions. He's going after leaders, right, and laws and, you know, the ways that people do things that really take people away from God. That's really his primary purpose, right? And so stumbling blocks in essence. So he heals this man, but there's an interesting saying. Look at verse 14. Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may befall you. Okay? Now, listen to what he's not saying. He's not saying that your sin caused you to be crippled. That's not what he's saying, right? He said that nothing worse may befall you. But at the same time, he is making a connection with unhealthiness, with sin. And don't ever lose sight of that connection, right? You know, disease, you know, hardship, whatever it may be, okay? There may be a sin element attached to that. I give an example. You know, I had a pastor friend of mine who went to Russia many, many years ago, and he was ministering, and during this time, you know, a lot of people came up for prayer. A young, very attractive woman came up to get prayed for. And, you know, she's like in her 20s, but she had a bad case of arthritis. I mean, her hand was all, you know, I mean, can you imagine, like, you know, a 20-some-year-old coming in with, like, you know, like rheumatoid arthritis that's only reserved for, like, people in their 60s and 70s. And she comes in and she wants prayer, you know, for her hand to be well. And so my friend lays hands on her and just starts praying. And then the Lord speaks to him, just gives him a word of knowledge, right? And the word just simply says unforgiveness and mother. So he turns to the girl and says, hey, you know, I just felt, you know, do you like have any unforgiveness issues with your mother? And as soon as he said that, she just started bawling, breaking down. And something happened in the relationship, and as a result, you know, she couldn't forgive her mom. And then my friend led her into a prayer of repentance, you know, and asked to forgive and release her mom from these things, and instantly her hand became well. Right? This is, you know, this is something in akin to sin, which brought forth a premature aging or a premature, you know, ailment, you know, on this person. Right? And there'll be things in our life that, you know, you never know. This is what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that every illness is attached to some sin. The Bible is true, right? This is, you know, when we sin, right, death entered into the world. And so we recognize there is an element of that, right? You know, but I'm not saying that every sin, so like, you know, basically you didn't sleep very well, you didn't drink enough water, right? You know, and so you wake up in the morning, you have a huge headache, your back hurts, right? That's probably more because you didn't take care of your body, you know, as opposed to, you know, some other kind of sin. But in that same way, I would still say, you know, if you're going through some physical stuff, especially some stuff that you've never gone through and things are happening, it might be wise to just take a moment and just say, Lord, forgive me, or ask the Holy Spirit to convict you of anything. Forgive me if I've done anything, you know, knowingly, unknowingly, and you know, you just kind of just cover the bases, okay? Do you guys understand? Because I don't want to make any conclusions that, you know, that are too dogmatic, right? I'm saying possibly it could be, you know, I mean, according to what Jesus is saying, he says, hey, you better stop sinning or something other stuff may happen in your life, right? You know, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, and we understand that, right? And stuff, and so and just kind of keep that in mind, right? So there may be a relationship with sickness and disease and sin. I think that's the easy way of saying it. There may be a relationship. It's not quid pro quo. It's not going to, you know, sin, you know, unhealthy. It's not. But there may be a relationship with that. And so you just kind of keep that in mind. And then Jesus, you know, these guys are seeking to kill him. And he's making his case of deity, you know. But more than that, he's making a case of the Father has sent me. Right, I'm an ambassador, I'm an emissary. You know, the word is I'm an apostle, right? He is sent by God. And so he comes to this place, and here's some good news for us, okay? Fine, you know, let's get some good news of the gospel. Verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, He who hears my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. This is good news, right? This is a future, present, past happening all at once, right? You hear the words, you believe, you have eternal life. That's future, right? I mean, it's also be present as well, because your life there goes on. And then you pass, right, from, you know, this is pass out of judgment, right? You do not come into judgment, it's present, pass out of death into life, past, future. I mean, all kind of wrapped up in one, right? You know, and what that means is that when you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and you know, we can spend a lot of time talking about believing. Is believing an intellectual conviction? Yes. Is it more than that? Yes. You know, it's more than that. It's a volitional surrender of will, right? Intellectual conviction, yeah, you have to, right? But it's a volitional surrender of your will, you know? And so it's your mind, your body, your soul coming into alignment, right? That's believing. That's true believing, okay? And we don't have time to talk about that now, but we'll get into that maybe later on. And so you believe, right? And then what happens? You're saved. Eternal life happens. What happens to all of your sin, right? It's gone. You know, remember Isaiah says he bears in deepest sea, he remembers no more. It's totally wiped away. Jesus Christ became a curse for us, right? So that we would not have to endure, you know, the curse in that same way, right? The sins of the believer and wiped out, you know, this is, you know, Christ pays the penalty on the grounds of what we call a substitutional death, right? The believer is separated from their sins forever. You know, Psalm 103:12. The believer is separated from your sins forever. You know, one of the things I really like about David, you know, and I haven't found this character in anywhere else in the scriptures. David had this, I believe, had this keen awareness of the forgiveness of God, you know, and, you know, like, I mean, instance, so he sins with Bathsheba, right? He has a sense that God has forgiven him, right? Obviously, the wage of sin is death, and the child needs to suffer as a result of the father's sin. And so he pleads God. He doesn't eat, you know, the guys are, you know, his people are saying, hey, eat something. He just pleads with God. The child dies. David gets up, he goes about his day, you know, and you think, wow, you know, like usually it's reversed the other way, right? Like as soon as a child dies, then you go into mourning, you know, but this is my own take. I really believe that David had this keen sense of the forgiveness of God, you know, well, okay, it's done. He just moves on, you know, and there's some wisdom in our lives as well, right? You know, obviously, we don't take sin like nonchalantly, you know. But in the same way, we lift up the sacrifice of Christ. We lift up the cross, right? If he be high, be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. You know, and we lift up Christ and his sacrifice, which wipes away our sin, you know, because, I mean, there's the act in itself, right? And I think a few weeks ago, I talked about sin and intimacy and that relationship, right? That sin or the act of sin is just an outward sign of the inward reality that you have lost intimacy with God. You guys remember that? You know, and in that same way, you know, the sin, what really hurts us or what really the enemy uses is actually guilt and condemnation, right? Sin, bam, taken care of at the cross, when you ask for forgiveness, right? When you become a Christ follower, you know, and you believe, sin is wiped away from us, you know, and I mean, so is the guilt and condemnation, right? But how many of us still live in the residue of sin? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, when I was a younger Christian, I can't tell you how many times, like you get into a holy moment with God, you know, and you know, like you're praying and stuff, and then you get into the groove of praying. And then, like, I would find myself, like, asking God to forgive me of stuff I did, like, 8 years ago. You know, that I already asked God to forgive me a long time ago. You know, but it's like, just in case, like, just in case, God, you're on vacation when I was praying, you know, or maybe I wasn't sincere. No, of course not. Where is that coming from? It's coming from my fallenness, one, but it's also coming from the enemy, you know, of just bombarding me with guilt and condemnation, right? That's why Paul comes out in Romans chapter 8 and says, there is therefore now no condemnation. For who? For those who are in Christ Jesus, right? In Christ. Being in Christ, meaning that Christ has surrounded you, you know what I mean? That he's your advocate, right? That his sins, when we come to the judgment, that when, you know, when the enemy shows the video screen of all the stuff that we did in our life, and, you know, and we could, you know, very easily be embarrassed, you know? I mean, if you think about this for a moment, right now, right, if we're able to take your thoughts and your life, you know, and just kind of open it up for a moment, you know, you wouldn't want to sit near anyone here. You know, I mean, you'd probably move. You know what I mean? Like, even in the last, you know, hour, just your thoughts were open to everybody, right? You'd be like, man, that guy's weird, you know, or this girl, man, she's crazy, you know, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, and you think, imagine your life, but instead, Jesus Christ stands right in front of you. And God doesn't see the video screen. All God sees is Jesus' sacrifice. And Jesus says, it's done, it's paid in full. Right, and we're free, but the enemy uses that guilt and condemnation. I mean, all I want to say in that is simply this: right, understand your positional righteousness. Right, you know, when you do EG, I ask the phrase, you know, probably like third week, on a scale of 1 to 10, how is your relationship with Jesus? Right, you know, and usually, you know, if people are like, you know, like normal Christians, they always rate themselves lower, right? You know, I'm a 4, you know, I'm a 5. Every once in a while, you get that one guy who thinks he's really close to God, but even he's a 7, right? No one shoots for 8, 9, or 10, right? You know what I tell the class all the time? Says, I'm 10. You know, my relationship with God is a 10. Why? Because I'm positionally righteous, right? You know, because of what Christ has done for me, I have a perfect relationship with God. You know, and that's the reality, right? Positionally. Now, we need our emotions and everything else to catch up to that, you know, whatnot. But there is an understanding, and this is simple, right? It's the judgment of the believer's sin. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him, does that sound like anyone in this room? Right? You know, that sounds like all of us, right? Has eternal life. Does not come into judgment, passed out of death into life. It's beautiful, right? This is the cross. This is, you know, what this whole thing really means, right? So let's close our eyes for a moment. It's actually quite a lot of things to think about. The provision for you to be right with God has already been made available to us. In other words, God has already given us a gift. The key is you need to take the gift. Right? It could be your birthday, you know, and I give you a present, it's right here, but you have to take the gift. It's yours, you know what I mean? Like, it's bought it for you, it's yours. But you actually have to apprehend it. I think that's what a lot of things in the kingdom are like. Salvation, Christ died for the world, the cosmos, grace. I mean, just, you know, healing, provision. It's yours, but you have to apprehend it. And there's many of us, unfortunately, that are still living in judgment or under judgment. We have passed over. We have passed judgment. We have passed over from death into life. And now it's about living that way. So I just want to encourage you to, as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, just go before the Lord. And just begin to wrestle with the eternal truth of the Scriptures in that regard.
Exalted. name above every day, Jesus.
Let's take a moment. Let's pray over our sin issues, huh? Is there anything right now that during our time of worship or maybe during the talk that you feel like the Holy Spirit convict you of? It could be a relational thing. Maybe you need to ask someone forgiveness. Or, you know, it could maybe something that you disobeyed the Lord in. You know, there was a prompting of the Spirit and there was a disobedience there. Christ has already paid for that sin. So there's no sense in you carrying it. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense. And so let's just offer that to the Lord. He's a prayer away. And so let's ask for forgiveness. Let's pray together. Let's pray a moment. Let's take a time. Let's pray for the needs of our community. Let's ask the Lord to just cover the church and just pray over its members. And, you know, in particular, let's continue to lift up Charles Hahn's father, who's diagnosed with a rare and late form of esophageal cancer. Let's pray for a miracle over his life. Let's pray for Charles just to cover him. I know it's difficult to be so far away. His parents live in L.A. And let's just lift up our elder, Charles, and his dad. Let's pray for Krista's auntie, who is also suffering with cancer as well. And let's pray for God's hand to be upon her. Let's pray for Mark Starnes, that God would just give him a lot of grace as he finds a new job. And let's pray. There's other members of our church that are going through different things. And some, you know, for whatever reason, they've asked to be more confidential. And so just a prayer, a general prayer over other members and parents that are sick and whatnot. And so just lift up our community and let's ask God's grace to overwhelm them. Let's pray in our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor O. He'll actually be here next weekend. Pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang. Pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage and the kids and the leaders. Let's pray for Grace and Bloom. Ask God's hand to be upon them. Pray for the Philippines. Pray for our clinic, Solomon's Clinic, and pray for Elder Chang, and for let's lift up Bhutan. Let's lift up these countries and our friends ministering overseas, and let's pray for that grace would come to them. Let's pray for our SP ministries, especially in the front lines of spiritual warfare. Let's pray for our intercessory prayer team, and let's pray for Matt as he leads. I know there's new members being recruited and coming on and stepping up, and let's pray that God would just really give a heart to these leaders, and especially one stepping up, to a heart for the church, a heart for prayer, and a real gift of intercession would really flow. Let's pray for Cascade as a new season is starting, and you know, it's nice, new building, new stuff, and you know, let's also pray for new powerful anointing as well for Cascade. Let's lift up Becky and Leanne during this time, and let's pray for the well. Pray for Larry, especially as he's still recovering from his back surgery, and let's pray for the Lord to continue to minister through them, and we would see a lot of great testimonies, a lot of signs that point to God being in the house. So let's just lift up these ministries. Let's pray for SP 1.5. We had another site visit yesterday. Things are coming together, right? Let's pray for all the logistics. There's like so many things. There's deliveries of materials. We still have to pick out the chair. Samples are being sent this Friday. And there's so much going on. Let's pray for K plus K, in particular Johnny and Gigi, employees there who are managing this. Pray for Tracy, who's our project manager. Pray for Projects Asia, who's our contractors. Let's pray for safety, in the workplace. There's still some issues with China Chem. We need to lift that up. Bottom line, we need to pray for a lot of stuff during this time if we're going to see our timelines and our budgets come through. And so let's lift up the project. In that same way, this Sunday is actually the grand opening celebration at the Vine. Right, so let's just pray for a real awesome celebration for them, and the Holy Spirit would just really meet with them in a special way. There's also another church that's just moved to Shengwan, a community church, Pastor Steve Galtney, they're actually just right down the street from us. And let's pray. I think this Sunday is their first official Sunday, and then later on in the month is their grand celebration. And so let's pray for community church as well, that God would just really meet all their needs, and they get everything ready for this weekend, and just the Holy Spirit would just hover over all three of our churches in the midst of moves and renovations and all these things, and that we'd be armed and ready to just battle for Central and Shengwan before the Lord. So let's lift up our move, Community Church and the Vine. Lord, we thank you. We bless you today, Father. We thank you, God, that truly, Lord, that you've paid it all, God. The cross has paid it all for us. And so we no longer want to walk in shame or condemnation or guilt. Lord, that we understand, God, our righteousness in you. Lord, that you who knew no sin became sin in our behalf, that we may attain the righteousness of God through you, Christ. And so we thank you for that gift, God, and help us to walk in it now. We bless you. Watch over us the rest of this day. Lord, help us to give glory to your Son in all that we do. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.